Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Peter Barker.
And I am your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And today, we are here with yet another Spider-Man episode, which surprisingly we have more of, I think, than you would assume, right? Because we did the Far From Home review.
We did the one with Gabe.
Yeah, the whole trilogy. No Way Home. Is there any others I'm forgetting?
No, that sounds about right.
Sounds about right. We need to do a Andrew Garfield one, too.
I agree.
Because I think we could get a little bit into the history.
We could probably do a childhood classics, even.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think that would be a good one. I'd be interested to, like, I know about it, but I'd be interested to learn a little more about it, too, and kind of dive in. Yeah, so today we're here to talk about the next Spider-Man movie that has come out, which is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the sequel to the 2018 movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, if you can believe it. We just missed covering that one because that was the year before we started. So I don't know if we've even really talked about Into the Spider-Verse. So maybe we can also like talk a little bit about that when we get to the review and like our expectations. But before that, we've got to start by answering reading the answers. I literally get that wrong every time. Reading the answers to last week's question of the week, which was, what is the Disney live action movie that you're most excited for or that you want the most?
Just the one in the future that you're looking forward to the most, I think.
On Spotify, Noah said Atlantis, which I think is a cool one. Like I think those are the ones that we've got to do more of that have a little bit less.
Yeah.
People know them, but they don't know them like second to second. Like they've memorized. Like I feel like so many people have memorized like The Little Mermaid, and like they're so iconic. So I think those like not mid tier or B tier in terms of quality, but like B tier in terms of recognition. Uh-huh. I think are maybe good calls.
I think that one is still in like very early development.
Yeah, that I forgot kind of it was actually like.
Like it's one that I think is in like. It's only in development. Like it's not in any kind of pre-production or anything like that. But it's one that is being talked about doing.
I'm trying to think of like other B tier or like less lower profile. Like,
well, they're doing the Black Cauldron.
Okay. In my opinion, I would want ones that are not animal. So like Oliver and Company, Great Mouse Detective. I think like those are a no, because I think like the translation from animals to the live action just like gets rid of a lot of what makes them good. So Atlantis is a good one. Treasure Planet has mostly humans or like humanoid creatures. That would be a cool one.
Tarzan,
I guess. I mean, we've made like Tarzan
has
movies,
some
but
animals, but
I think it would work though. Cause like, I mean, he's the people that you want the most emotion for. A lot of them are humans. Like, I guess, obviously, like, the mom would be nice to see emotions in. But also, like, I feel like I could accept a little bit more of an animated version of a face, or they would maybe be more willing for, like, apes. Because I feel like those are easier, those are more realistic to make those, like, have more expressions than a fish, I guess. Who knows what they'll cook up. And then we've got two on Instagram, but I think they're both the same thing, right?
They are. Hannah said none of them, and then Danny said none, leave them be.
That's a valid point that I think most people share. And I think I share that too, but I also feel I'm a realist, and so it's like I know they're coming. And so if they're coming, I want to try to like be hopeful.
Yeah, hope for the best. That's my philosophy. I don't have high hopes, but I would like them to be good.
Yeah, if they're being made, I don't have a power to stop that. But I can hope then that they can be good. If they're a necessary evil, hopefully they are at least a well-made necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think with that, we can just dive right into our review of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. We're going to keep this first half pretty spoiler free. So if you haven't seen the movie, you should be good. We'll give warnings when we get into spoilers, because there is a lot to spoil about this movie. Sometimes I feel like when we do the non-spoiler spoiler, like, there's not always a ton, like,
yeah, all right,
we could talk about like the climax maybe, but in this one I feel like there is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's
to
a lot
talk
of stuff
about. So we'll give a nice break there. I'll just read this plot summary quick. I got this from Google. Shout out. And you sometimes there aren't very good, but this one was pretty good. So I was like, sure, why not? So here's the plot summary for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse if you were just wanting to kind of get caught up. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse, where he encounters a team of Spider-People charged with protecting its very existence. However, when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders. He must soon redefine what it means to be a hero so he can save the people he loves most. Once again, Spider-Man being isolated on his own, you know,
yes.
he can never have that communal feeling. I don't know what I'm saying, but I feel like that's a common theme with Spider-Man.
It is, yeah.
Like the lone wolf kind of thing. Only one that wants to do the right thing, kind
of. And always in danger of losing those he loves.
Of course, of course. Well, it wouldn't really be a Spider-Man movie without that, right?
You know, right,
the
right,
constant
right.
fear of your family members being murdered. Because that's something we all go through, isn't it? Right? Yep. That's what I worry about every day.
If you have anxiety.
So... quick little background for the movie. Obviously, like I said, this was a sequel to the first movie. This wasn't like a given, apparently, that there was going to be a sequel, because I don't, like, no one really knew how well the first one would do.
Sure.
But obviously, it had tons of success, both critically and commercially. Like, it overperformed, I think. So, a sequel was pretty much, we knew it was coming. It was our little bit teased at the end of the movie. So, like, they left it open for a sequel. This movie was officially confirmed in November 2019 with an anticipated release of April 8th, 2022. Pretty soon that date got moved back to October 7th, 2022 because of the pandemic. And then we didn't really hear a lot about it until December 2021. It was revealed, just like I think the creators revealed, that the movies was going to actually be split into two parts. So... That wasn't like a thing what we knew going. Apparently, for judging from reactions, a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah, which is crazy to me because I feel like that was pretty wide knowledge. But I guess for people who don't follow news, maybe it wasn't. And there's no, I guess, part one in the title.
Yeah, right. Which I think I thought there was a part one, but this one's Across the Spider-Verse, and then the third one is Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Sure.
Which I personally, like, artistically, I think is a much better look. Like,
I agree. Part one,
part two is a no-go. And I feel like it's like, at this point, trilogies are pretty well established. Like, it would be rare, I think, for a movie that's like this successful to only have two movies, you know? I mean, besides like the Andrew Garfield ones, I guess. But like, I think I expect at this point, it's pretty well established that there's usually three in a series. Yeah. But I guess not a lot of people knew that. But yeah, this was originally going to be just one story, but they said it was too big for one movie, which now seeing this one, like, definitely makes sense. Like, it's definitely like a very long arc that they would have had to kind of fit into one movie. So when they announced like the titles in April, then they got shifted one more time to June 2nd, 2023. And that is where we are now. One thing I thought was interesting too is that they pitched the movie when they like first pitched the sequel that it was going to have be about the same size with like employees and everything as Into the Spider-Verse. But then at the end, like, it's ended up now, it has had whatever the largest crew of any animated film ever, with around 1,000 people working on it.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Which is crazy, right? And I think we're seeing a lot of, I think this year, probably starting with Puss in Boots, I think, like, did really well. And then we had the Mario movie, which is still doing really well. Like, I think animation currently is having a big, like, upswing, you know? Yeah. Maybe not in the way that a lot of people want to keep pushing, like, the animation is cinema movement. But, like, I think it's obvious, like, animation is doing well.
Well,
like,
and not just animation in general, like, good animation.
Yeah.
Like, innovative animation. I mean, like, things that are new to the landscape. Because you look at, like, Spider-Verse kind of kicked off a lot of that, I feel like. But, you know, like, we've talked about last year, we had, like, Bad Guys, too, which seem, like, pretty fresh. And then with Puss in Boots, and then with this, and then we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie this summer, which also looks like they've done some unique, innovative things as well. And you know what studio's not catching up? Disney and Pixar.
Yeah, I mean, because Elemental, I don't think, had great reviews coming out of whatever film festival it was.
I mean, it doesn't look amazing.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the animation. Maybe I think it's, like, I do think the animation, like, looks more unique because it's, like, not humans.
Yeah.
So it might just be more of a story thing. We also have the Miyazaki movie, like, this year, I think, right? And they just, like, announced there's not going to be a trailer. So very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So just to kind of show that, I guess. So we have the weekend box office. We're recording this a little later than usual, so we have a full weekend to look at. So Friday, I think this also, these include previews usually. It has 51 million, so it made 51 million. Saturday, 37. Sunday, 31. So that adds up basically to a domestic total of 120.5 million. Domestically, worldwide, it said it made 208 million. So pretty good.
Yeah, that's a really good opening weekend.
That's like live action, like Marvel superhero opening.
Yeah, and right. I think there will be, you know, a lot of people still going, like, schools are just about to get out this next week, basically, over the next week to 2 weeks. So I think that will also see some of those numbers uptick as well.
Yeah, and there's so much, I am seeing a lot of talk about this movie from, like, outside of, like, a film Twitter bubble. Like, a lot of TikToks talking about this movie in, like, kind of, like, in the ways that, like, Batman was getting talked about, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, definitely breaking into, like, more wide mainstream culture. Do you have a guess? I have these italicized numbers as well. Do you know what those are?
The italicized numbers?
The italicized numbers in the weekend box office. So here's how it looks on the screen for those listening. So Friday, I have italicized 12 million up against the 51 million for Friday. That's across. Saturday, 13 million. Sunday, 9 million. And then domestically, 35 million for that week, for a weekend. So, like, I have these other set of numbers. These are the numbers for Into the Spider-Verse. So Into the Spider-Verse opening weekend domestically made 35 million up against, now this one made 120 million.
That's crazy. That's like a drastic increase.
That really blew my mind because, like, I knew these were good numbers, but like you said, I think Into the Spider-Verse was such a phenomenon among, like, people that like movies, right? I think it's, like, kind of heralded as, like, a newer, like, a Gen Z, like, classic, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Like, included in that. But I think, like, it gained so much, like, ground over the last 4 years, I think, I guess 5 years, as a, like, a truly great movie. And so I was just, I guess, like, this is, like, really great a sign, you know, and, like, demonstration of, like, how much bigger and how much that movie did to create that fan base and how excited people were for this movie. Because that's crazy. Like, 35 million, it made more Friday and Saturday, both of those days, like, separately than the first one made all weekend.
Yeah, that's wild.
And fully, like, domestically total, it ended up making 384. So it's, this movie's already halfway.
Yeah,
like a third of the way to that, right? And so, like, even though the first movie was considered a financial success, I think this is going to go way past that.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's really cool to see. I'm glad that people are showing up for it and excited about it, obviously, like, wanting to talk about it. I think it's really good for movies and, like, movie theaters and summer business. Like, it's basically, like, an all wins, in my opinion.
And because of the way that it's set up, I feel like the second part will be even bigger. because, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but it ends at a cliffhanger, obviously, because it's part one. So it ends halfway through the story. And so I just think that it'll, especially after it's been on streaming and all that, like, it'll, like, part two will just be so much bigger even than part one, which is that coming out next year?
What I've heard is next year.
Probably, like, late summer?
Yeah, I forgot. They said the date. Okay. I'm a little skeptical.
Sure.
Okay. This is definitely not happening, guys. They said March 29th, 2024. 100% getting pushback. I'm going to call it right now.
I mean, they've probably done quite a bit of work. I mean, it probably was included in a lot of the original animation, but I would guess probably it'll get pushed to like August.
Yeah, August, maybe even October if they want to like go real like award season. Because I was like on TikTok, like the Hailee Steinfeld and like the cast interviews have been really popular. And she said that they were working on like voice for this movie up until like a week ago or like 2 weeks before release. And so they haven't even like read the script, apparently, for the new one.
Okay.
Like they have, or they haven't, like, maybe they've read the script, but they haven't done any voice work for it.
Okay.
And so I feel like, I mean, I don't know how animate, maybe that's like the very last thing they do, but it just feels like they're going to have to be like on crunch time if they want to get that.
Yeah.
And I feel like you said, like with streaming, it might be good to give it like at least a year breathing room. Like you don't want to do it. You want to let the hype kind of build a little. I think it would be actually a good idea to do August. Let's get into our thoughts though on this movie, right? We're here to talk about this movie, not the one that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, right.
So for me, I going into this movie, I was obviously really excited. I was really excited, like even just for the first movie, I remember, like, this is cool because I feel like, I don't know, I mean, I guess I was here for Homecoming too, but I just, like, remember the whole hype cycle leading up to this first movie. Like, that first teaser they showed with Miles, like, going upside down.
Yeah.
Like, into the city. Like, so I have, like, I feel like I've been on this ride for a while. I really do enjoy the first movie. I think it's, really good. I actually rewatched it before this and I liked it more than I remember liking it. I still do have some issues with it. I think pacing wise, it feels like there's like a lot of character development that just happens towards the end of the movie, which is pretty par for the course for kids movies. But especially because I think the storytelling is so well done in both of these movies, it makes it just a little more apparent where it's like, oh, I guess we're here now. Like he's Spider-Man now. That's kind of like at that turning point of Miles becoming Spider-Man is where I kind of bumped on it a little with just like some of that. So that I did have issues with the first movie, but I was really excited going into this one, especially because the early reviews were like amazing and they still are. Like the reviews for this movie are really, really good. So I was pumped going into this movie. What about you? I don't know if I really know like your thoughts on the first movie at all, even.
Yeah, I know we may have talked about it. The only time I can think I would have shared thoughts on it would have been in, we did like a Spider-Man ranking thing.
Oh, right. Yes.
Like we shared our ranking. It's always been in my top three Spider-Man movies.
I think after rewatch, this one is now, I think it's number two. Like this one and Homecoming, first movie and Homecoming are very neck and neck for me. I think they both are really great, like origin Spider-Man stories.
After Tobey's?
Yeah, after Spider-Man 2. That's obviously first. Okay. That's obvious.
Yeah. I was just making sure. Yeah, so this has always been one that I've really liked. I've never had issues like rewatching it. Like I've not ever been bored on rewatches of it. So I was excited because this is one that I've always thought was a really good movie. And so obviously I was excited to see what they were going to do and I can appreciate. I don't know. I mean, we both love Spider-Man. Ranks what? Number one. For both of us, for favorite superhero, so...
Here's the thing. I feel like I have always been on the Spider-Man train.
Sure.
I feel like now it's, like, a little cliche to say, like, Spider-Man is your favorite superhero. So yeah. I just feel like Spider-Man, I've been on the train very early on. Like, when Andrew Garfield...
Yeah.
That was when it was not cool to like Spider-Man, you know? So Spider-Man has always been my guy. And I think, like, Spider-Man stories, the way that it's set up, and it kind of gets into that in this movie, like, the plot points just lends itself to really good stories.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, since, Amazing Spider-Man came out when I was in eighth grade, so that's been, like, I mean, he's pretty much...
11 years.
Yeah, I mean, with Captain America up there, too, because those both came out at the same time, and so that was, like...
What a time for cinema.
I know. I wish we could go back. That was, like, my two OGs were...
L to the OG.
OG. were both Spidey and Cap. And so I think for me, like, I have liked every iteration of Spider-Man. I just think they're all good. When you look at my ranking, it's like, you know, I have this one low, but it's like, I like them all. They're all like, I mean, really, apart from Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, Tobey's, all of the rest, so the other eight, are all 4-star or higher for me.
Wow. Incredible.
So, like, this is probably my highest ranked cinematic universe ever. Like,
right.
Out of any...
Well, this movie is, like, for you then, because it's, like, Spider-Man of all Spider-Man movies. Like,
yeah,
all
basically.
The
it has all the Spider-Men.
We thought that No Way Home was crazy because it had 3 Spider-Men. Just you wait, guys.
Yeah, I can't even keep track of how many. I was just really excited that Web-Slinger was in it. so, gonna make my cowboy Web-Slinger Spider-Man cosplay soon. But yeah, so I don't know. I was really excited for this one. I kind of tried to avoid trailers as much as possible. When the first trailer came out on, you know, whenever it came out, I tried to not watch
stuff. I never really saw them either. I didn't like naturally try to like actually try to avoid them, but I don't feel like I actually watched them either. Like they didn't really play in front of movies too. Cause I don't watch a lot of kids movies, I guess
at the
theater.
I saw one of the only times I would have seen it would have been in front of Puss in Boots maybe.
Hmm.
So, like, I kind of generally knew what it was about, but I wasn't, like, completely sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's about the multiverse. Like, what else do I need to know? It's in the title, like, Across the Spider-Verse. Like, you know, like, what you're going to get, basically.
Yeah. I think that one of the biggest things I was looking forward to, obviously, was the animation. Because it just was, I just remember watching it for the first time. And being
the first movie,
The first one. Yeah. My younger brother and I went, and we both were like, when it ended, we were like, holy shit, that was insane! Like, I just remember being so blown away by what they did. And every time I rewatch it, even I feel like I see things that you know I never noticed
so many
before,
details.
Like so many little things. So obviously like expanding on that style they were using and following some of the animators on Twitter and seeing what they were talking about. That was probably one of the biggest things I was looking forward to about this one more than the story even. Just because I feel like they started such a new animation movement, I guess, and a new style of animation that I think that it's cool to see them expanding. Like, it's interesting to see other people expanding on that. Like, I think you could see a lot of it in Puss in Boots, even with the frame rates. But I think, like, I was more excited to see how they innovated their own style. So that was kind of my biggest expectation going in.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, that's what you watch the movie for. I mean, you watch it because of you like Spider-Man and, like, it's cool, it's fun. But, like, the animation is, like, for me, one of, like, the main things I'm most pumped about watching just because I find it so, like, incredible. And I feel like this movie, animation-wise, makes the first movie look, like, so basic. Like, the first movie has, like, moments of, like, oh my gosh, this is, like, so many things happening. But it's, like, they took those moments and it's, like, almost every scene in this movie. Even, like, small, like, intimate moments, there is something like crazy going on, not plot specific, but there is a conversation between two key characters, like in the first third of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And like the way that it's animated is probably like one of my favorite scenes of the year, just because like how they decided to show that scene, right?
Yeah.
It's still like on paper, it's just like a low key just scene about getting more to know more about the characters and developing their relationship, but they still animated it like insanely. And so that's the thing I think just overall, like I am most impressed with of this movie, but all in that kind of also goes in like the sound design kind of goes with that. Cause I feel like they're so linked a lot of times is just the experience of watching this movie and like hearing this movie and like my mouth was open a lot of the time just because like, it's so cool to see. And it's like, I am paying attention to like the story and I like the characters. So I'm like, yeah, this is so fun. But the way that they tell the story and they show it is so engaging. And I think in a lot of ways it gets you really engaged in the story more than you would be, because like it's making it all seem so much more exciting. And like even Spider-Man like just swinging through the town feels like more epic than like any other Marvel climax that I've seen in the last like 10 movies that they've had, right? Just like the presentation elevates my attachment and my like experience of watching the story.
Yeah, and I think what's so cool about, because obviously we saw some of it with the multiverse in the first one, because we had the different ones and they did stuff cool with like Spider-Man Noir and Penny and like those different styles of animation. But in this one, it just was like,
it's like every 10
ridiculous.
Minutes there's something new that's
well,
like
and this time we're actually going into other worlds too, and the way that each world is so like unique and distinct in its animation, like it's not even close to being similar animation, but it also is, which is so crazy too. It just like added such, because they could have just done, I don't know, whatever Marvel does with multiverse,
like
where it's like,
oh, their red lights are actually mean the cars go.
Yeah,
like,
which is
like
whatever.
That.
But it, like even just popping in to some of these things briefly,
right?
Were like there's a scene kind of at the beginning where a character is popping into like it shows like two or three different ones. And it's like the briefest thing, but it was like, oh, wait, I want to see more of this world. Like, come back.
Like, yeah, there's like so many like moments where they flex and they're like, we could do this. Like, look at all this other cool stuff. Like, it's so impressive. And it's like they're always something like every few minutes to like sweep you off your feet, I guess, is like a romantic thing. But like knock, I don't know, just like
swing
it's crazy.
You on your web.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I think just we can just say like that is the thing that I think is a 5 out of 5 is just like presentation wise, this
absolutely.
Movie is incredible.
Yeah, just in terms of style and execution in the animation. Yeah.
Even like the way that normal things like the city is animated, I think it feels even more alive than the first movie, which I don't think the first movie is bad at that. Like, I think it's great. But it just feels like they stepped up their game on every level animation wise.
Yeah.
Like it's, which makes sense. Like they had another 4 years to develop the style. So that's really great. And I mean, not getting into specific characters, like, but there's like, there are some like really cool things they do with characters, like kind of like Spider-Noir kind of, but even more.
Yeah. More in depth.
Yeah. More in depth. Like this, like Spider-Punk, like that is, I know that's the one people are kind of attaching to, but the fact that like he's always at a different frame rate and has such like a distinct style and like everything is crazy.
Well, and his animation somehow feels like flatter, like more 2D too.
Yes, exactly. Like he's like cut out of like a cartoon and like slapped on the screen.
Yeah, which, but it somehow feels seamless. Like it doesn't feel like he's out of place in the other world. It's just like, I don't understand how they did it.
It really breaks my brain. And it like gives me a panic attack thinking like having to figure out how to do that. Like that's just a no.
Yeah, it's just really, really incredible work.
Yes, yes, I agree. Voice acting wise, I think this one was also really good because they have a lot of different characters, like a lot more characters. And I thought like every new character they brought in was really great and like was a great fit for the role. I think like Daniel Kaluuya like was awesome.
Yeah.
In his role, Jason Schwartzman, I thought was a great fit for that character.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming we'll see even more of him in the second one. But like the bit we got of him in the beginning was perfect. Oscar Isaac. I didn't even know Oscar Isaac was in this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Oscar Isaac's here. Like I just knew his voice. That's crazy.
I think what's so interesting about this is that we have had a lot of conversations about big time celebrities playing these. And we've always been like, oh, well, the draw is the celebrity, right? Or that's what it feels like some of these other movies are doing. But like you just said, Oscar Isaac is like A-list actor.
And they didn't even like promote him being in this.
And they didn't promote him being in it, which I think proves they're doing it right. Because I think you can cast people who are not necessarily voice actors, but they need to be good at what they're doing. And right. I think that that is what they did here. Because this cast list is insane, for one.
Yeah, like, looking at it, it's, like, almost like a Wes Anderson movie level. Like, so many people, yeah. Like, oh my gosh, all
like
these people.
Like, major ensemble, for real. And half these people I didn't even know were in it. And, yeah. Like, maybe would not even recognize, like, their voice, either. Which I think is so cool, and I think also what makes this movie shine and makes all the performances good because it's putting the movie and the characters first instead of casting Awkwafina for the draw. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're just casting Chris Pratt as Mario, which we've said Chris Pratt did fine,
He
did better than we expected. I still think someone could have done better.
I think the problem, like you said, is when there's so much emphasis on the person who's playing the character, because then it feels like they're trying to play into their persona. But like Oscar Isaac, I think does use, like, I could tell it was him because I've seen him in so many things, but I think he does like not use like an Oscar Isaac voice. Like I can tell that, like, even Daniel Kaluuya, like, it's a British accent, but I don't even think a lot of movies he even uses that. So it's like, I feel like there are choices being made where it's like, I don't want to sound like I'm Jason Schwartzman. Like I can have like what makes my voice good, but it's not like I'm trying to play like my stock Jason Schwartzman character, right?
Yeah, and so, it just really felt like to me that they put the movie first, which is something I just feel like we don't get a lot in voice when it comes to voice acting these days, which I just think was really impressive and obviously made the movie a billion times better because I look at it and I'm like, wow, all these voice performances were actually like so good.
Yeah, and memorable. Like, there's some people that aren't in the movie for too long, like, because there's so many characters, but there's a lot of memorable scenes because of the vocal performances. So that was a real one, too, that I wasn't as expecting, I guess, as the animation. Because, like I said, I didn't really know or think really about, oh, I wonder who's voicing people in this movie. So I guess just we don't want to go super long on the non-spoiler, but I do want to touch kind of on some general likes and dislikes, I guess, that are not going to specify plot points. My main dislike, I gave this movie a 4 out of 5. And I think my feeling on things might change with rewatches, but I don't know. I don't think this will ever be 5, you know? It might reach to 4.5. But my main thing is, so as unspoiler as possible, there's like a chase scene. People listening will know what the chase scene is.
Yeah.
Like a very pivotal scene. Everything after that felt very like clunky to me. Like there was like multiple like points where I was like, so is this the end of the movie? Or is this the end of the movie? And there's like musically, they like build to these conclusions or like these epic moments like 4 times in a row. And it's like, okay, I feel like I'm not tracking with like the arc of the movie anymore. I do think there was like, I felt a little bit of downtime when they went to see like the spider people, but I think they did a really good ramp up with like the chase scene and like they did a really good ramp up there. But everything after that, when it just feels like, okay, we have to get to this part of the movie because we need to stop it here, because that's like our cliffhanger ending. But it didn't feel like there was like a progression up to that point. It just felt like there was like so many reveals happening back to back. And then things happening so fast, like, oh, we're going to get this team together and like we're going to be on this world and we're going to do this and this. And I know the movie is really long, so I don't know if they could have made it longer, but just maybe pacing wise, like I would have liked that to be a lot smoother, I guess, like to get to that ending. Because some people have said, too, it doesn't feel like there's a real ending to this movie. I don't know if I agree, because I think there are pretty significant plot arcs.
Yeah, like character arcs
for like the two main characters. So like I see the arcs, I just don't know if the arcs are represented in the way that the movie is paced. When I look at the overall shape of the story, I see like the arcs of both of characters, which are, I mean, I don't know why I'm dancing around this, which are Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy, right? Like those arcs.
Yeah.
I see the arcs of their characters clearly. I just don't know if I felt that like clear, like, oh, and now this is the end of the arc. Like, and then we kind of like, oh, this is what's coming next. Because I feel like that's what a good cliffhanger should do, or a good part one, is it should lead you on like this logical like conclusion path. And then it like teases like, oh, and this is the next thing. But I felt like they kept trying to do like, oh, and this is huge. And then, oh, imagine this and then this. And then like, I was like, okay, so this is the end or this is, no, this is the end. And it just kind of like was unfortunate because like, so much of the movie to me felt so like perfectly paced, like so fast paced and like so smooth. And I was like, man, I am tracking right along with this movie. But similarly to the first one, it was like in that last third, it was like, it just felt like something was off for me in the way that they decided to wrap it up. Maybe like I said, that's something that can be remedied or I will understand more as I see it. But I still like think just objectively, it felt like there was just like not an understanding of how they really were going to get to that end point. And so they just kind of like threw it all in there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's hard because, like you said, the arcs of those two characters do finish. Like you can see a clear arc through the movie. I'm curious how much of the perspective of the ending will change when you see the second one, you know? Like, mm-hmm. If you can watch them back to back, I'll just be interested to see how it feels, like, if it just feels like a continuous whatever. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see. I agree. I think I was really coasting through it. Like, you know, like, I was invested the whole time and not feeling the runtime at all. And so I think once we get to that big climax scene, then it's kind of like, what is there next, you know?
Yeah, what's left?
Because it's still moving and trying to be intense because there's more to the story, but it's also like they have to find a slowing down point as well. Like they have to slow the story back down. So I think that that's some of the pacing.
Yeah, like I felt that slow down and then it felt like they brought it back up and then they had to slow it down again and then like brought it back up. And there was like a little bit like up and down in that last like 25 minutes that was like, I don't know. And I get it, like plot wise, like story wise, they have a lot of things to reveal and like, but I just think maybe, I don't know, maybe they could have written it different or done something different just to make it feel a little less like, okay, we can move into spoilers, I think, here.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, why not? See the movie, even if like, it's a good movie, right? Bottom line. Spoilers. So really it's like the big reveal, like the first reveal, I guess, is like when you find out he's not on his planet or something like that is like,
yeah,
he's not
in his world. Yeah.
Right. And I think they play that really like, this is like crazy, right? Oh my gosh. Can you believe this? He's like this. This isn't his world. And like we get to that high point and then they bring it back down again. And then they do it kind of a little bit with Gwen and it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. She's doing all of this. Like she's going to see her dad. Oh my word. And then they bring it back down again. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Miles is actually the bad guy in this world and Gwen's getting the team back together. And then it ends. And so I just think like, it's all for me was in the way that the scenes played out. And even like the way the music kind of built to each of those moments And I was like, I just feel like I'm getting whiplash a little bit because like there's so many things that like they're like building to, and we keep going up and down in that way. But I do think like story wise, they're really cool plot points. Like I think they are like, I'm really excited to see what they do with that. Just maybe like in the way they wrote it and played it out, it could have been done differently, I guess. I don't know.
It was funny because I had thought he went to the wrong world because it like showed it on that screen. Like right. When he first called up the world or whatever, it showed the original 42 or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, the 42 world. And I was like, why is he going there? And I was like, oh, maybe that was like a glitch. And then when it went there, I thought it again. And I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong because that feels like whatever. Right. But it was like the whole setting was more of like this sort of,
I think it was colored differently. Like his scenes were colored differently than theirs.
Yeah, it was like an urban punk. Like it was all that green and red tone. And his world is a lot of like pink and blue undertone base. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, these color tones are really cool and different. And then I was like, wait a second. It's because he's in a different world. I have a few questions about it, though.
I do have questions, too.
I guess the nitty-gritty of it is this stuff with the multiverse.
Yeah, I didn't bump on some of the stuff with the multiverse, but I did feel like a little bit in that, like, explanation scene, which we kind of need. There was that feeling of, like, I'm just, like, getting tired of, like, getting multiverses explained to me a little bit.
My question is, if the spider came, maybe someone who knows this, the lore, could let me know. If the spider came from 42 and it went to Miles's world and Spider-Man was never bit in that world, which is a canon event.
A canon event.
It's a canon event. Yes. Uh-huh. Why did that world not split? Which is kind of the whole point, is like you can break a canon event without, or that's what Miles is trying to prove, is you can break canon without whatever. But I just feel like if they're talking about this whole anomaly thing, I feel like they would have caught that the world, I feel like that world would have had, something else would have had to happen. Because if the spider never bit Spider-Man in that universe, like, I just feel like it doesn't fit with the whole explanation thing that he gave. And so I was a little hung up on that.
Like, I think it's a really great, like, a great dramatically for him to, like, not have been meant to be Spider-Man. Like, I think that's, like, and, like, yeah, also and for like him that. To, for him to have, like, him being Spider-Man be the cause of, like, this collapse. But I am just confused because I thought, the collapse of the multiverse was in the first movie was because of that collider thing with Kingpin. Like, I thought that's right. Isn't that why like people got sucked in to his world? Like, because he was trying to bring his wife and son back. And so I thought that was, but then I guess like, so are more issues happening now because he's Spider-Man? Like, as time has gone on, there's been more issues, I guess. And then also, like, the other spider people, like Gwen and Peter B, they knew about it, but so they knew about it afterwards. Like, they didn't know in the first movie, right? Like,
yeah. And then I also wondered if Peter was the original Spider-Man in Miles's, and this maybe is my theory for how it's going to be solved. So if Peter is the original Spider-Man in Miles' universe,
right, but the one that died in the first
movie.
The
one that died.
Okay.
Then canon events shouldn't even apply to Miles because he's an anomaly. So really, like, the Uncle Aaron dying thing just was something that happened that wasn't actually applying to him. That's what I think. That's how I think this is going to be solved. But also, like, I don't understand how if Peter died, that didn't break that universe
as
well.
Was that a canon event? Like, Peter dying isn't a canon event.
No.
So, like, was that Miles' fault that he... I mean, I guess it was Miles' fault he died because, like, he was there. Yeah, so maybe if he wasn't there, he wouldn't have died. I just think
that canon does not apply to Miles because he is the anomaly. So I think that's how it's going to be solved in part two. But I was thinking about that the whole time where I was like, okay, but if he is not Spider-Man, then really in that universe, this stuff should have applied to Peter and not Miles. So...
No, that's a good point.
I just was trying to like work through it all in my brain.
No, yeah, I am there with you. I think it's like, I guess, yeah, like that, I thought it was cool, but like there was questions I had of like the whole like incident that led to the chase. So like he's an anomaly, so he created the issue, but they also then think like that he's gonna have canon events. But I feel like with anomalies, isn't what they do is like destroy them. So like I know like it's a kids movie, I guess, I know, but wouldn't they're like they would want to kill him because like,
right,
don't they want to like stop the anomalies? Like why do they think that he's going to still have canon events if he's not actually Spider-Man?
Yeah, that's like, my whole thing.
And I feel like I really want to watch it again and read, like, just to kind of get, like, with that in mind might help a little bit. But then there was the things where it was like, we knew you were an anomaly, so that's why we didn't come back. But like Gwen didn't like wasn't with these people until like a couple months ago. So like, so she found out when she like met those people that he was an anomaly. Cause it felt to me like the reveal was like, oh, they hid something from me. But yeah, it's like, I feel like that's not how I read it. I don't know. I was, same as you, I think, like, just a little bit confused on, like, the specifics of how that, all those pieces fit together.
I'm gonna have to watch, like, some, you know, dude who knows all this stuff and actually, like, reads comics and knows multiverse stuff to, like, explain it to me.
The reason why I think there is, like, something I'm missing or just not understanding completely is because it's obvious they were like really had this plan in mind from the beginning. This doesn't seem like a like, oh, this would be cool to throw in, because watching the first one now with like the second one in mind, they do have like a bit with a bagel, right? That's actually like in the thing, like he hit someone with a bagel. Yeah, yeah, that's there. There are constant like visual references to 42.
Yeah.
And then like there is the spider glitching. So like you can tell it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
There is the thing that people have pointed out when he has spider sense for the first time. At first, it's green and purple on screen, and then it changed, like, which is the what is the bad guy's name? The Prowler. So he's like, originally the Prowler colors are like his colors, and then it changes to red and blue. So I think like it's obvious that this stuff was in play from the beginning, or like they had an idea of like, okay, if we get a sequel, this is what will happen. And I have never read the comics, so we could be sounding really stupid right now and be like, well, this is obviously in the comics, guys. Like, okay, my bad. But I have faith. I feel like that's too big of a thing for them to like, for to be a plot hole.
Yes.
Like, it can't, the whole movie hangs, or like series now hangs on like that idea.
All that to say, I think that their handling of the multiverse makes more sense than Marvel's as well at this point. I feel like either way, I have a better grasp, even though I have questions about it. I feel like it makes more sense to me in this than it does in, you know, Multiverse of Madness or whatever. Like, I feel like I get it more.
Well, and it feels like there's, and all, because like the main hang up is the canon events, and that is like the crux of the narrative as well. So it's like, it feels like it, whatever, however the multiverse works is tied into the whole entire narrative. Like, it wouldn't be the same story without the multiverse. So I think that helps too, where it feels very intertwined with the story.
Yeah.
And it's only dealing with like Spider-Man multiverses, I guess. So it's not like literally everyone.
Every multiverse,
like, it's just talking about Spider-Man.
Which helps.
This like that gap between like, or like how that whole purpose of those people, like, the anomaly just wasn't 100% clear, but I like that chase scene. Like I was saying, that chase scene, I thought that was awesome. That was a great scene. And I really do, like I said, like dramatically, I think this is a great character point, or what would even be the word? This, like, it's a great additional layer to Miles's character and like his growth as a character is like this backstory of him not being, because I think the whole like point of the first movie was like the last line or whatever, like anyone can wear the mask. Like that was, I think, like the thesis of the first movie, where it's like, you can be Spider-Man, right? Like anyone can be Spider-Man. And now the antagonist's belief of the series now is that only certain people can be Spider-Man, right? And you're not in control of your own fate and destiny. And so I think just story-wise and dramatically, like it's a great development for the plot, because it fits right in with the entire theme of the whole movie, the movie series, and his character. So I do think, like, once I finally like figure out how exactly it works, I'll be happy, because I do think it's like a really cool idea, and I'm really excited to see how they kind of wrap that up in the third movie.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going for the third one for sure. I love Miles. I think he's a great Spider-Man. I like that they've taken a lot of the same twists that we've seen, you know, or the same themes from others and sort of like remixed them in a way without like repeating it over and over, like the whole sacrifice and everything. Like, I just think the way that it's handled with his parents and all that, like, I just think it's really, he's just a really, really good character. And I think in this one, I liked him in the first one, but I think in this one, I like really grew to like him more, because I feel like they just made him so interesting and really like represented what he's going through and like his role as Spider-Man, where he's trying to balance the, like, the whole scene with the cake.
That was
where
awesome.
He's trying to balance like his responsibility with his family life. And it's kind of that whole thing we see in all the Spider-Man movies, where it's like, where is the line of like being Spider-Man and then also trying to like be a part of a relationship or with a family member? Like, I just think that that's such a good conflict in all the Spider-Man movies. And I like how they did it a little bit differently in this one, especially since he like seems younger, I think. Like,
yeah, I think he is. That's what I was going to say. I think because it's animated, this is like the first like film version of Spider-Man that actually is like fully in high school. He's a sophomore in high school. So I think that changes so much of his dynamic with his family. Because like in the second movie of all the other movies, like, I guess Tom Holland was in high, but like the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were college age. Yes, that we've got, this is very different than things we've gotten before.
Because Tom's, I think the first movie, he felt high school. And then I think the other ones, we could believe that he was, but he didn't feel as much like a high schooler, I guess, because we know Tom as well.
Yeah, and he doesn't have like that parental child relationship with Aunt May either in that movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's cool to have an actor who is a voice actor. And so instead, like, the character doesn't age up. Like, they can keep the character a certain age. And they did make him a little bit older in this one. But I think that it's cool to see a young Spider-Man going through young people. Like, I just think that that is something, too, that, like, a lot of kids who watch it can, like, relate to a lot as well, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, and I think it makes him a lot, like, even more relatable. Or, like, you feel a lot more for him, I think. Because he is like you said, he looks young. He sounds like he's definitely a lot younger. We perceive him as a lot younger than he is than the other ones. And so even though you're still having like the same themes of like balancing life and family and stuff, it's from a very different lens of like a sophomore in high school. Like their relationship to their parents and their personal lives is a lot different than a 20-year-old's relationship to that.
Yeah.
So the whole scenes, or like the whole beginning in Brooklyn, I thought was incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like the multiverse stuff is really cool, but I thought that was like so, so good. Like the family drama dynamics, Gwen Stacy, like that scene with them. Like I said, the conversation, that's what, like the upside down shot, crazy. Amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Loved it. And I really liked, I think, like I said, the first movie obviously was in Brooklyn too, and like it was cool. But this movie felt so like much bigger, and I think really captured like the feeling of this, of like being in a city, and like the movie be, and I think because New York is such an important part of Spider-Man movies that we've lost a little bit in like the Marvel ones. So I really liked the representation there of like the city, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it was a great movie. Like I said, there's issues I have, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I think it is a very worthy follow-up to the first. Like, it's hard to, that's a hard movie to follow up. And they were able to do different things with the animation and everything, and also tell like a story that doesn't make the other one feel insignificant. Like the other one is a firmly like an origin story. And so I think like that still has a lot of merit of like as a movie. And so this one just like builds on what that is. And so I don't think it like negates the merits of the first film either. So I think I think it's a very good sequel, and did like basically everything you'd want a sequel to do, which is raise the stakes, make things bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Question of the week.
Maybe like what other superhero movie do you want to see an animated version of?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Kind of like we talked about with like Little Mermaid and stuff. Like there's things you can do in animation with these kind of fantastical characters that make it a lot more just cool, I guess, is like the in animation. Like it can just look cooler a lot of times. I don't, because it's got to be like one that feels like there are benefits to being animated. And I think Spider-Man has a lot of benefits because like with the physics of the web slinging, making the suit blink, like animate the face, like there's a lot of benefits to animating Spider-Man.
Yeah, I agree. I guess it could be one that's not already been like made into sort of a live action.
Yeah. I feel like Fantastic Four is a movie, is a series that has always been tried to like be made and never work. So, and there are a lot of like things in there where I think it would work better animated.
Oh, that would be a cool option.
So like, I think that would be what I would pick, is like a Fantastic Four animated movie series. Cause like I said, it's not really worked when they've tried it a few times live action. So maybe it's time to try out the old animation route.
I think that Hawkeye could be cool. But I think like from, you know, like in the show when like I'm thinking like, you know, when they use like all the different arrows and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of really cool things you could do in animation, like especially this style of animation.
Yeah.
Like this comic book style. Like I think there's a lot of cool things you could do with like
arrows
like, or like just kind movement. Of making like a sort of human character into like. Make him cooler, because I think it's hard to make him cool in live action, and I think like if you have him in the animated version, he could be a lot cooler.
So let us know what you think. Maybe it's something we said, maybe something we didn't say. Let us know. You can answer on Spotify if you're listening there. Reach out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, email us. Everything is in the show notes, so let us know. Next week we have the next installment in our Summer of Twilight.
Wow.
Talking about New Moon. Twilight New Moon.
Number 2.
I'm excited.
I've heard this is the worst one, so.
More like Boo Moon.
Or New Boo. Yeah, so I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get more into the series. The first one was a fun time, yeah. So.
You sent me a TikTok recently of, like, a guy watching Twilight for the first time and, like, dying laughing. And that's the energy.
You. Yeah, that's the energy we're going into this one with.
And that was me, really, watching the first movie.
Watching
that
when
scene.
He first watching runs him, up the hill with her on her back. Hill, like, it's so funny.
Such a funny scene. And I'm just hoping for more of that. That laughter in the New Moon is all I can ask for. So tune in next Wednesday for the next installment in our summer series for Twilight.
Yeah.
Until then, follow us where I said and drink some water. That's a good thing.
Stay hydrated.
Anything else besides that?
No, go see this movie again.
Yeah.
Go see it more than once.
I feel like I want to see it again. One more time.
I need to see it, one more time. I'd like to see it one more time on the big screen as well, just to appreciate maybe more of the animation that I missed. Obviously, there's so much that you miss.
That's a big compliment from you, because this isn't movie's over 2 hours, but you are going to go see it a second time.
Maybe. If my schedule allows, yes, then I will.
You are considering.
I would like to go see it again, yes.
Right. Well, I think that's basically all we have for today. So, until next time, I'm late again for another college admissions meeting.
And I am the T-Rex Spider-Man who's shooting the webs out of his little T-Rex arms.
And
we're your second-hand film critic.